This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Joe.
Today we have Mike Hannon to talk about our mission together, creating a new Earth, and penises and vaginas. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Sanegato. Today we have a special guest.
Mike Hannon's here.
Oh, thanks for having me and calling me special.
I feel like we're getting really good at those intros now. That was very smooth.
Fine, after 2 years.
Very fluent.
It was seamless, and it was a weird transaction.
Because, it was good.
Because we were just having like a casual conversation.
And then it's like,
and then
oh.
Shelby just went to his dictator fingers.
He's like, hey,
and
motherfuckers.
You guys snapped to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good at it now. And actually, you've been on before, but never with Joe, right?
Never.
Oh, this is
actually
new,
you know, not alone. I think
there was like five people. Yeah, when Mike was here.
Yeah, I've been on with you and Tim and Kate were talking about fairies and something like that. And then I would come in with a snarky quip and Joe was.
Yeah,
into
no,
it.
We were talking about aliens. I think Dave was even on too.
Oh yeah,
I think it was the entire rabbit hole.
But I've never had you on by yourself, and I wanted to give you the spotlight.
Oh, I appreciate
my soul
it.
Cousin. So
soul cousin.
He's my
this
soul
is a
cousin.
New terminology I have not heard
well
before.
I thought he was probably my soul brother in another life.
I thought we were adversaries,
right.
I thought we were gonna be just complete knocking
opposite.
Into each other at all times. Just like, yeah,
I could see that as well. But so we have the same birthday, which just passed
mm-hmm.
a little bit ago,
March
on
27th
Easter.
Happy
yeah.
birthday to you both.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, bro.
I was saying I got a really nice text from him on my birthday. I normally don't get very nice things from him. They're never mean, but I always end up sending him like the longest thing. And he's just like, literally today he wrote goodbye. I wrote this long thing. But yeah, so I got a really nice one where you said I'm opening up your mind. And
you
I was
are.
Like, fuck.
There you go.
Yes.
And you haven't even done mushrooms yet, have you?
I have not.
He's never even smoked weed.
You've never smoked weed. Wow, that's why the young children love you. You're a goddamn role model with a clean
I don't
temple.
No one knows that, I don't think, really. Like when people ask me, then they know. But no, everyone kind of just expects me to. I think people think I do hard drugs.
No.
No,
you do not have hard drug energy around you.
I'm telling you, people have told me that. They're
really?
Like, dude, I'm surprised. I'm like, all right.
You don't have the energy, but you do have DJ face, so I could see.
DJ face! Yeah,
so I could see that for sure.
That's so
That's
funny.
That's the worst symptom that I think I'll ever have.
You just took your good looks and turned it into such a douchey
DJ,
thing.
You got a DJ face.
That's what I got to do. I have to cut down the competition in the room. I'm like, God, he's gorgeous. I have to.
You got a face for a DJ. That's fucking sucks.
I have generic white guy face, dude. Every person
no,
I run
dude,
into
you
tells
both
me.
Do.
I bet someone like would think I'm you. And you,
right.
Like, I look like everyone. My
yeah.
license, before I had facial hair, or it looks like anybody. Literally anyone. Like when you play I tell people this all the time. When you play a video game and you go to create a character and
yeah.
like to start, they just have this standard person. I have never changed anything. I'm like, that's it. That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's me.
You're the perfect fake ID for a kid to use.
Literally. I gave it to all my friends. Here, go ahead. Because some of my friends are like a year younger than me.
Wow.
So
that's a racket. You should be running that for like the rest of your life.
I should have made fucking yeah.
Dude, keep going. Just make photocopies of your 22-year-old self. That's the way to go.
Oh shit.
So Saturday night, Mike Hannon and I ended up at the same comedy show.
We did. One of the coolest shows I've done in a really long time, by the way.
I didn't go up, but
yeah.
Scotty the audience
Level.
Was
let's,
insane.
Let's give him a shout out. Scotty Level runs this loft comedy show in Williamsburg on
What's
Kent
it called?
Ave. I think it's the Comedy Commune.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like if the movie Kids became an organized comedy show. Like, that's the kind, like, you don't even think that these places exist in New York anymore because it was this giant loft. He, like, doesn't pay $15,000 a month for it. It's like $4,000 or something like that. There's, like, stairs that go up to, you know, it's a loft.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and people were sitting everywhere. Everyone's barefoot. They're passing around pot. They're drinking. It is a very communal vibe. And therefore, like, the comics and the audience are on the same page, and it just makes for a great show.
That and the green room, awesome. The green room is his actual room, so you're just chilling and hanging out.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
And he had a full bar. It was, like, the cool, every time he'd just, like, pack up his vaporizer, he'd
Wait,
give the
what'd
first...
you just say?
So his bedroom was...
Is the green room?
It's, like, where all yeah. the comics hang out.
That's amazing.
The whole thing is his apartment.
It was the most fun night I've had.
Yeah. Is it a big
my whole life?
Place? It's humongous. That's the thing is you don't think that those places exist in New York anymore, but this is like...
It was huge.
Yeah, wow. And he's knocking down one of the walls. Like, they're doing major construction for this because him and his fiance, I guess, are moving in. And it's like bananas. You would never believe that this is a real awesome. Thing.
It was
yeah.
so
he does regular
fun.
Shows there all the time?
He does like a monthly, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but it was fucking just the hang itself in the green room was awesome because it was a good mix of comedians that you don't necessarily see all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the performance paid off because every once in a while it's a good hang. Then you get up on stage and you're like, well, that was 15 minutes of just absolute work. So
yeah, you killed it.
Wasn't that fun?
You had a
it was
great
fun.
Set.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was high as the audience, so I felt connected.
Well, this is how weird that night was. So I was hanging out with Allison, the rock star shaman who's right. been on here. And when I do those kinds of hangouts, I'm like, I want to stay away from comedy tonight. Mm-hmm. I just want to have this kind of a hang. And then I was hanging out with Rosebud at night, and then Allison was like, "Hey, my friend Olivia is having a birthday party thing. Do you want to come to it?" And I was like, "Oh, can I bring my friend Rosebud?" And she was like, "Yeah," but it was supposed to be not comedy centered.
Right, wasn't it like wasn't that also like a seance weird shit that you got yourself into?
No, that's how Tim Dillon probably described it.
It was.
But like Tim I get Dillon there, was there, it was definitely, well, this is what happened. So I get to this party and there was talks of like a comedy show somewhere. And I was like, I don't really want to do comedy tonight. I don't want to go and sit and watch comedy on
my
night off.
I love how
off.
Kate thinks that if she just shows up, she'll be asked to perform. I don't
no,
feel
no.
like doing comedy
I didn't mean
comedy
I don't, no,
tonight.
I meant like I don't want to go and sit on a front row watching my friends.
Right.
Like as if I'm just an audience member. Do you know what I mean?
I'm busting balls.
Okay. I'm just excited to get to this part. Okay. So I get to this thing, and it's definitely very hippied out. And I'm waiting on Rosebud, and she's having a panic attack because she's scared of all the hippie people. Like, she just won't. And I'm like, get the fuck
don't you guys
in this
do
party.
A show about tarot cards?
Yeah, but she doesn't really. She's still freaked out by spiritual people in general. She thinks they're lunatics, which a lot of them are.
She's diving into the correct industry then.
So she's like not coming into the place. I'm like, get the fuck in here. I want to introduce you to Allison. And she's like having a panic attack. She's like, oh my God, I just ran into Tim Dillon. I was like, what? And she like hangs up. Next thing I know, she's coming in the party with Tim Dillon. And this is not a part, like Tim is, he's
dude,
been,
has Tim been on the show?
Yeah, he has.
He's awesome.
I am such a big Tim Dillon fan.
No,
Tim
he's
no idea.
Amazing. But to bring him into a place that's like
no,
hippied out.
That's why I asked. I'm like, he was there?
So
see,
I'm
this
having
is the
a panic
you're
attack.
You're thinking about this all wrong because that's actually the perfect place for Tim Dillon. Especially if you want to see him in his most Tim Dillon-ness.
Oh my God.
Like, there is so much stimuli for him to be furious that it must be the most entertaining.
What
just like,
the fuck is going on?
Oh, just an iPod shuffle of rage.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You can't, but everything is gold.
He was actually
no
being super
tracks.
Open-minded and sweet, and Rosebud was like freaking out, and I was like, why are you fighting your true nature, Rosebud? And
that's
she
her
was just like,
her name is fucking Rosebud.
I know.
And she can't stand a hippie party.
Anyway, we go up to the comedy show, and which ended up being amazing, but I walk in, and of course I see you, which
Kate's
and like,
face drops.
I did. I was like, Mike's here. No, because you and I have such a funny, weird, unspoken like history dynamic to us. So I was like, oh, and it was just... I had a weird time. I was like, okay, I'm combining like, because I have my friend, the shaman chick here.
Yeah, but I know her as well.
Totally. Yeah. But I just felt weird being around all these comics and then there. But it ended up being the most fun night because she was doing like past life regressions in the green room for people.
Yeah.
It was insane. So she did it for Mike and I. And she's like, I see a little girl and a little boy holding hands in a field. And she kept asking if we were brother and sister. And the voice was going, no, cousins. So I was like, I was probably the boy and you were the girl.
Most likely.
Yeah.
If any of my current experiences mean anything. Yeah, for sure.
So it was pretty cool. And then she did a past life for Rosebud and her boyfriend. They were shipmates. It was great.
They were shipmates?
Shipmates?
Yeah.
Oh,
both
my
men.
God. Oh, okay. I was going to say, because Rosebud is white and her boyfriend is black. So that could have gotten into a real dark past life regression.
If they were both white males.
Ship
heavy set. But they were both wearing these hats that looked like they were on a ship. It was hysterical. So
does Allison just do this 24/7 walking around?
This
just
was supposed
fucking...
to be her night off, and then it was just hysterical and ended up being the most fun. And yeah.
There were also people who are not really privy to this information at all, like comics that are hanging out, kind of listening and just being like, well,
what
all right.
The fuck, yeah.
And then Allison would out of nowhere just shake her hands in front of their face. And
she's lighting fucking wood and there's smoke everywhere. She's like, no, it's good, it's good.
Dude, weed is going around and all of a sudden some like hot chick is just shivering in your face. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Like,
right
now.
But you know what's
funny? I'm going to let this slide because you're good looking, but fuck, what are you doing?
No, but here's the thing. Like some of the comics were giving looks. And then by the end of the night, even after you left, because we hung out for a while, they were coming up slowly like, hey, can I be a part of this? It's so funny how at first that cynicism turns into like, I want in.
It's also so funny that once two good-looking women just express interest in being kind of physical and lovey-dovey, that guys flock over.
Yeah, they're like,
weird how that happens.
Can you rattle that thing in my face, please?
And so I was so excited. I was like, they just wanted to talk about spirituality and fairies. They wanted to feel their emotional pain.
Maybe. Here's the thing. Of course, that's an element of it. But I say the same thing to Tim all the time, as he's like, dude, everybody like freaks out and they break down and they're like, they, you know, discover themselves. And I'm like, percentage wise, how many are women? And he's like, a high percentage. And I'm like, okay, and you're like a really good looking guy that's in shape and giving them a ton of attention and a ton of eye contact. Of course they're soaking wet.
But like, can I say something? And this is going to lead us to the next thing. I think that we were put in specific vessels for a mission, and part of it is, you know, good looks help with that thing. So yeah, they might think that they're doing it, guys and girls, to Tim. They might think that they're, you know, flocking to us because they just want to stick their dicks or vaginas on it.
Sure.
I'll stick my vagina on that.
That would be the funniest way for a girl to come on to you. It's like, I don't know why, I just want to stick my pussy on that.
Yeah, I'd be like,
that's how I come on to guys. Can I stick my pussy on that? No. But I think that sex is an act of creation. It's a spiritual thing. So actually, they want to be opened up. They want to create with that energy, whatever it is. Yes, looks help, but looks, it's just your vessel. And we have these vessels for a reason.
Sure. I mean, whenever I see a super hot chick with like no clothes on, I'm like, I want to create with that vessel. This immediately
what
goes through my head.
I'm not saying necessarily with all people who are good looking.
Do you know what's funny though? Is I've heard guys that aren't married to the woman that they bred with saying that even, you know, once they met them, they were like, oh, I knew that I was supposed to just drop a batch in this chick. Like, it just, there was something. Mm. Even if we don't get along romantically for a certain amount of time, even after after the baby's born, it's like, oh, we were supposed to be together to have this.
That's how I feel about Shane. Like, my ex and I do not get along now. But for me, I think Shane was definitely meant to be here. And he even says to me, which I've said before, like at 5, he was like, I came down here to wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, he did.
That is a creepy child.
I'd be like, do me a favor. Don't ever say that again and go to your room, all right?
Put down the knife.
God damn it. Red rum and shit. That kid, that's what I imagine.
He's
just walking over screaming things.
Shane's
like,
this little angel, who I think also has a connection to Mike.
Yeah, well, my middle name is Shane, and him and I have gotten along since I met him.
He loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I won his lion mask because I told the best shit joke at the Village Lantern once.
We weren't calling them shit jokes, though. We were calling them poop jokes,
jokes.
So everyone knows.
Yep. But I was not censoring myself.
That's true.
I was like, listen, young Shane, you better fucking grow up on the spot right now.
Well, the funny thing about Mike is that you have such sensitive, sweet eyes. Like, I know that you've been through some shit.
Sure.
But that sensitivity still just radiates from you. And okay. I feel like I see you almost more clearly than you see you and your big mission. Like, you're okay. So we can get into the weird stuff. And by the way, for the people who don't know, Mike has a podcast called Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole.
Also on this network.
And you guys get into some really weird, not just spiritual stuff, but conspiracy theories and all sorts of things.
We've actually been getting along for the last 3 months. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been quite good. We've had some bumpy roads.
Ups and downs.
Yeah, where we, you know, drunkenly screaming at each other. One of us walks out. It's always Dave. It's never me. And Kate spun off the planet on one of our episodes. Did she tell that
when
story?
When I had the edible?
Yeah, I do remember.
She lasted a fucking solid 12 minutes. And just
I gotta
left.
Get out.
Yeah, that's pretty
much
it.
I mean, that was literally, they stopped the podcast, thank God, and the next 3 hours were like the most intense of my life. Like, I was literally experiencing a time lapse. Like, time stopped moving, not in a fun way. It was like, it was a lot.
Yeah.
I was seeing angels, the eye of God, once again, not in a fun way.
Angels, that's interesting, because Tim saw angels once on mushrooms. Did he tell you about that?
The ones that were coming in and out of the closet and not really saying anything.
Yeah.
He talked about that on the Shrooms
podcast.
Well,
that metaphorically also, angels coming out of a closet, that could mean a lot of things for Tim.
Yeah.
You know, in defense of, because I know that you guys were making fun of his cover photo.
My God.
So Tim put up a picture where he's like very laid out in a feminine way. But the thing is that everyone has the masculine and the feminine energies within them.
Sure.
And you're actually fighting your feminine nature.
I don't think so. I flaunt my butt like it's
You have a great
Friday
bubble
night.
Butt.
I do.
But I'm very proud that he's finally, because I think he's a very sweet, mushy person, mm-hmm. And I think it's coming out more and more as he does the healing work.
Sure. I show that side of myself to the people that are close to me in my life. I don't necessarily offer it up to strangers because I've seen how people react to that, and I've seen people abuse people that are that open. Like, Tim does it in a pretty, I mean, not to disparage it, but it's a pretty safe environment to be that open amongst the people who also believe in fairies. If I'm in New York City walking around from spot to spot and I just, like, look at somebody with love in my eyes,
yeah.
and they can call me a fucking homo and kick me onto the third rail of the subway. Like, that's the reality in which I live.
Mike, you know who won't do that? Me. You can cry in my arms anytime you want.
Oh, okay, perfect. Well, all I have
I'm
to do...
I'm still waiting for Joe to crack. Every week I check. I'm like, anything weird happening? Any aliens talking to you?
I feel like one
feeling
day...
Feeling any weird emotions.
One day there's just going to be a fucking rush of shit.
I cannot wait.
Do you watch anything to make yourself cry?
Sad dog
well,
movies.
I do that all the time.
Sad
dude.
Dog
I watch,
movies.
I watch, so this is kind of weird, and Dan Soder, who's an amazing comic, if you guys don't know, I'm sure
oh,
you
yeah,
do.
Oh, yeah, he is funny.
He has a great bit about this, and it was like one of those things where I was like, oh, motherfucker, I do that too all the time. I wish I had thought of it. But I watch Soldier Coming Home videos all the time to cry. Like, all the time. If they're on Facebook, I'll just watch a bunch of them in a row, and I'll just, like, I'll allow myself to cry, and that'll be the cry for the day or the week or whatever it is. Another one that I watch is unsuspected X Factor auditions.
Really?
When it's like a super, yeah, when it's like a homeless person who's like...
And he's just so good.
Oh, and all of a sudden
Goosebumps.
He's like, well, it's like yeah. just an amazing voice that comes out, and you're like, what is this angel? Tattered in dust.
I don't... like go out of my way to do that, but now that you're saying that, there has been times where, you know, because I remember one time specifically you said Soldiers Coming Home. I was watching SportsCenter and they did a segment on it, and dude, on SportsCenter the segments are like 2.5 minutes long maybe, right? And then they go to the next thing. They did a Soldiers Coming Home, it was 8 minutes long.
I remember that.
And I got to two minutes and then there was this one specific scene, I'll never forget it. It was like the kids were in the dugout of a baseball game, and the dad came out of like the bullpen in the outfield, and they started running toward... I'm getting goosebumps just talking about
this. Yeah, I am too.
They start running towards each other, and he doesn't even make it to the infield. He just drops to his... like, dude, I was like, fuck. And that was 2 minutes. I had six fucking more of all this shit. I was a mess. I was
unreal.
Like, I was texting everyone. I was like, dude, is anyone watching SportsCenter right now? I'm a fucking mess.
I cry at anything, especially as I do my own healing work where I'm starting to touch into my pain and getting rid of a lot of the walls. Like, I was driving the other day and I was just like, this is so beautiful to be alive. I was like, I'm so grateful.
I do that all... I really do that all the time. Like, all the time.
When you really
I'll just
take
have
in,
feeling.
When you're really present, you have that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the walls come back up and you're just like, holy shit, this is amazing. You just take it in.
I do it in like a happy way. It's never like a sad...
Mine used to be
whatever.
More sad. I'm actually kidding. I used to never have like happy cry moments, and now right. I actually can cry at the beauty, which is a big breakthrough.
But do you actually like living like that more? Like, because here's the thing. This is how I view that type of thing, is the reason why I watch videos or something like that, to kind of excrete vulnerability as opposed to have it like kind of coming out at all times, mm-hmm. is I almost appreciate it like I appreciate drugs. And therefore, I'll appreciate my sobriety much more if I just kind of give myself a taste of that, mm-hmm. and I'm not just walking around weeping all the time. Like, I enjoy the rest of my ego and my personality as well, just as much as my vulnerabilities and sadness, you know? So I don't want to necessarily be just an open drawbridge at all times.
No, I don't think, you know, and I'm not. Like, I mean, I know I'm more so than others. But
I'm not, she said defensively, if she shifted in her seat.
Yeah, I got real uncomfortable. Because I do try to, first of all, I have a lot of walls, even though, because I think I also used overly expressing as a way to hide how like closed up I actually am. So it's like almost, there were a lot of moments of fake vulnerability. Like, I'll tell you how I humped a couch when I was three.
Yeah,
so
that's comedy.
So you can't really
of course.
Get in here.
Did you hear Mark Maron's quote about that? It's Mm-mm. the best comedy quote of all time. He's like, comedy is basically, stand-up comedy is a way to control how people laugh at you. He's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like, it's like high school. You have no control over it. The shit just comes at you nonstop, and it's just, you know, a brutal attack of you feeling like shit, but instead comedy is that one way to harness it and just completely use it.
Right. In my spiritual school, when I
you can always tell, like, so I'm sorry, but you can always tell because there's certain people who, like, when they're telling jokes, like, a lot of it is just like self-deprecating. You're just kind of like, you sound like there's just a lot of shit going on right now.
Oh,
you know
my
what
God.
I mean? But you got to balance it out. Throw like one or two in there. Some people are like, yeah, I'm the fucking worst.
whatever. It's not even funny. It's just a sparring match against themselves.
Yeah, whatever. I never learned. I never paid attention. It's fine. I'm like, all right, man.
Well, I forget who it was. It was this one comic who is so funny. She's such a funny comic. And a lot of her bits were like super funny, but they were like brutal jabs at herself to the point where like the crowd got uncomfortable because they were like, well, we like you.
Yeah.
Like, you know our friend so-and-so? You're hurting her right now. Talk better. Like, it's just crazy.
I've tried to stop doing a lot of the self-deprecating jokes for myself because I started feeling the energy of it. And I was like, I'm being terrible to myself right now. Like, I hate calling myself a bad mom on stage. Like, I think when I first started, it was funny to be like, oh, I need to get it together. And then, like, I hear myself. I'm like, that hurts my feelings. Like, myself. Yeah. But I was saying, when I share in my spiritual school, like you have a moment where you can share personal stuff, my spiritual teachers, they do not let me be funny or make jokes because they know that that's a defense for me. Because I'll start sharing and opening and then I have to, you know, get a laugh. And they always look at me now and they're like, don't actually share.
That would infuriate me. I don't know if I can do that.
It's tough, but I've changed. People have come up to me in the class and they're like, you've changed so much. When I first shared, it was all jokes.
Be like, yeah, I'm not as funny.
I've lost my touch.
Yeah.
Thanks to you people.
You've healed me, you pricks. And ruined my career.
But you know what's so funny? A lot of comics think that as if they healed or got more positive, they'd be less funny. And that's not the case. You can be just as funny and positive.
Do you remember we were having that conversation and I was bringing that up? Because like to me, I won't say to people like I'm a comedian. You know what I mean? Because I feel like that's like a category that is I put on a pedestal, like to be a comedian. You know what I mean? Even though like by definition, like I tell jokes for a living, it's just like a different thing, but I don't put myself in that category. But I feel like a lot of comedians just like, for whatever reason, they want to be a part of that. So they think they need to be this just
a certain
sad
way.
Person who's not allowed to be in a relationship. Like they have to be broken and just
because
like a lot of them I've met just have this like thing. And I'm like, you guys sound like
it's
you're
so
trying to sit at the pool table.
Well, I think it's both that. I think it's people thinking they need to be a certain thing. And I also think it's the type of people that comedy attracts because there's a lot of people that aren't comedians that are basically just beating us to death with their words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's unfortunate. And it's like, oh, this person just needs therapy. But to even say that, like, I was one of those people that thought if I changed, if I stopped drinking so much, if I stopped doing so many drugs, if I went to therapy and addressed some of my parental issues and all that stuff, then I would lose my edge and get less funny. But all it does is broaden your perspective and different and, you know, strengthens your view of the world. It gives you more of it as opposed to just this one certain, like, tunnel that you have to stick with. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, if I was... There's several comics that haven't come out as gay, and they are extremely successful, and they don't come out as gay because they think they're going to lose that success and they're just staying the course. They're not doing anything outside of what their comfort zone is, and that to me seems like an office job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's no.
Like, what the fuck else are you supposed to do? Isn't the point of
it's
doing
like a cage.
This to, yeah,
it's awful.
To discover different stuff and like and try different things?
I was saying to one of the comics on Saturday, I was like, I consider myself a healer first before a comedian. And I don't mean you can replace the word healer. I just meant like me being me, whatever that is, like doesn't mean that I can't be a comedian. And not putting comedian first doesn't make me a less funny comedian. It just means I'm going to be more me and it's going to be funneled through that. But so many people are scared and they think they do have to be a certain way.
I struggle with that for sure because I've been hopping from identity to identity my entire life.
You're a healer. You know that, right? Like you have such a healing presence.
I mean, I have no idea. But what I'm saying is that I definitely identify as a comedian and I consider that my highest self as above me as a person. And that's it's crazy because that is... And I don't know what it is. I have a very deep connection with comedy, with the history of comedy. Anytime that I've read it, I feel a certain way about it. And I feel like I'm sure other people do as well, but there is this like kind of romance and this thing that I'm obsessed with the lifestyle and the grit of it and the struggle and how people come up and the perseverance and all that stuff. It's very much like sports, but I fucking love it, fell in love with it, and that's how I identify myself. It's odd.
But, it's funny because you're so much bigger than comedy. I mean it, though.
Is this my mission?
Well, we can get into it. And you're linked to it, too. And that's why I was in a cranky mood and frustrated, I was taking it out in the wrong way. I get it.
That's so odd for a woman.
Oh.
Hey, this is Joe List, and that's
Mark Norman here.
From Tuesdays with Stories, check out our podcast. Tell them why, Mark.
You're going to love it. It's nothing but laughs, jokes, stories from the road, vagina, and that guy.
Yeah, you're getting laid. We're being silly. Check it out. Find new and archived episodes of Tuesdays with Stories on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Anyway, so, and a lot of people are here to do this, but we're creating a new Earth, and I feel like that was a bit of a weird jump for everyone.
That was 180. I don't know where the fuck I am.
And the new Earth, it I'm going to start stumbling, but it's like a world that's way more connected in relationship to each other, and we're all doing it. I feel like you're still pretty unconscious that you have a role in it, and I get frustrated at you, but that's not the right approach to do that, which is why I get frustrated. I was saying to him, I get mad that he doesn't really promote the podcast as much as I think he should, because we have a mission to do. We're creating a new Earth, you know?
But, well, he's got his other podcast that's in the top 20 this
No, and that's
bitch.
Great, but is it creating a new Earth? No.
No.
Right.
I've never seen somebody answer something so certain. I'm just like, no.
And I feel like you have like one foot in, one foot out, in the sense of being how aware you are, how conscious you are of what your actual mission is. Like, you are helping to create a whole new Earth, and you're meant, we joke about, you might, in your past life, you might have been Martin Luther King Jr., whether or not that's true or not, although I do, you know, get a strong sense.
Does Joe know that story? I don't want to just jump into that.
No,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So when I was 10 years old and I first learned about the civil rights movement, first of all, I cried, like it made me cry a ton in the class. I don't know why, I just had a visceral reaction
to it. That's beautiful.
And then I came home and I told my mother, this 10-year-old white kid from upper middle class suburbia, told my mom, I am Martin Luther King Jr. reincarnated.
That's what you said.
That's what I said to my mom. That's what her white blonde haired kid said to her. I know I have brown hair and gray hair now, but it was blonde at the time.
I don't think I know the word reincarnated at that age.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I guess I did. My mom always, like, even though she was brought up staunch Catholic, Irish Catholic, she always talked about Buddhism and some of the tenets, and I always got into it just from that. But I believed in reincarnation from a long time ago, as far as I can even think about death, because I think it's a way also, sorry, I'm blabbering, but I think it's a way that I coped with the idea of death, because right when I found out that this could end, I was like 9 years old and I cried again. Crying is a big thing with me. And because I remember thinking that if I died too young, the world wouldn't get to experience my gifts.
No, I love that.
That is a white entitled child. There,
no,
though.
But
holy
shit. I don't even think
I feel
that...
like you have to, because I feel the same fucking way. But right. Like, I feel like you have to have that
mentality.
Yeah, mentality. Like, dude, if you don't have the mentality, it's like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, how can you just like walk around and be like, I really got nothing to offer anyone. I'm just fucking chilling.
Oh, I have months like that, though.
You know what I mean? No, dude, today was like that. I was just walking around and fucking whatever. But it's like, if you don't have the mentality, I think that's crazy. Like, to not feel like I have so much to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I get crazy when people just are telling me like, yeah, I guess I'll just get this job and just, you know, I guess I'll just do, like, dude, do you just like, you, I know you have things in you that you believe in,
right?
And you're just like either not confident enough or whatever, like, how can you not try to get those things done before you die? You could die tomorrow.
I almost wish I had that lack of ambition, though. It would probably be a lot easier.
You know, you'd be so miserable with your personality.
With my personality, for sure. But if I somehow had that kind of just happy to sit in front of the TV and like just hold my dick and my remote, and that would be the best ever. Instead of this frantic brain constantly running
and trying to create a new Earth.
Maybe, yeah. God damn it! I think that's the weight I feel on my shoulders.
It might be. It's
this new Earth is crumbling on top of me.
It's going to be great, guys. And you're both a part of it. We're, you know, we've got connections to aliens.
In what way? Let's get into it, because we're shallow pooling. I'd love to hear why you feel this way.
I mean, well, it's interesting. So I just know I can feel into how deep our connection is, actually, even though I think we've both resisted it. For, you know, but no, we were always like cool. We were always friends. Yeah,
but
I remember
then you got mad at me because you and Tim were going through a tough time and I introduced you.
That's not why I got mad at you.
And I made fun of her too much.
Yeah. No. I'll if you want to go into it, we can go into it.
Let's go weird.
Yeah. Let's get real weird. No, because you and I were cool. We were never like close.
Sure.
I always kind of felt certain guards from you.
Okay.
And I'm sure I had my own, but I just never felt like I could really open up in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same with you. I don't really call you crying yet.
How many episodes are you in?
Oh, we've done a lot.
Yeah.
A ton.
I can only really call certain people and like really let my guard down. You were saying that with your close friends. There aren't a lot of people you can go there with. But anyway, no, you introduced me to Tim, which was crazy. That day that you introduced me, I got in the car. Shane was with me. And literally about 10 minutes out of leaving the comedy club, I heard like a grenade go off. It was like something shifted. And it did. Like meeting Tim... Definitely the good and the bad has changed me completely. I've opened up in so many ways. And I'm still healing, and I still, you know, even with all the stuff that happened, I'm so appreciative.
You mean vaginally healing, right? Because you guys were rough.
I feel like I have to tell everyone, there was nothing really rough. I'm a flower.
No, but there was a lovely picture that we discussed on Saturday.
Are you really going to bring that up? Right now?
Well, it circled around its way on my podcast, so I understand
we're
not
talked
top
about
10.
It. Here.
You haven't talked about it?
I don't know what we're
referring to. I've talked
about
licking ass.
Yeah. So, well, now this was a...
I think you know about
this
the picture.
This was a physical representation of Kate's interest because Tim at
it
one point...
It wasn't my interest. I'm a good girlfriend and I do. I like to please...
So he took a picture of you... Face first and ass.
It was a good pick too, because Kate
made. Did you
see
it?
Oh my God, did I see it?
My
he pulled
eyes
it out
are
on
like,
the phone. Her eyes are looking at the camera, first of all. And Tim, this is the two thing about Tim's body I'll say in this picture, because first of all, it looked like real sleek and slender, so it almost looked like she was eating a girl out from behind. But it also, like, his hips came out and his ass to a point, so it looked like she was licking the dick hole of a giant dick. Also, like,
wait,
just
so
how his back came out.
I'm
and his
trying
hips.
To envision the pose here.
This is so not where
he's
I wanted
on,
to
he's
go.
All
he's,
fours,
he's all floors.
Like he's praying to Allah.
And selfieing it.
Yeah.
And she's back there.
Yeah, he had some weird wrist bendability because he caught a good flip.
And, you know, props to him because to see the funny moment in that while that's happening is, you know. But anyway, that's
did
not,
you know this picture was happening?
I did as he took it, and I was like, "What?" You know, and it was hysterical. I was laughing, but then I was like, "You're not allowed to show anyone unless I give permission." I did give permission, for him to show Mike.
And then everyone just saw it.
And now I've been telling anybody that will listen.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about aliens.
Keep going. Let's get into it.
No, but what I was saying is, then I started dating Tim, and then you and I got this weird energy between us, and it wasn't just my fault. Like you were almost like testing both of us because it's weird. I'm sure, like your best friend from growing up. Mm. Was like dating me and like I don't know, like one time I came, you're never mean to me, I came in one day and he was just fucking going at me and I was like, and I got mad at Tim for not defending me, but I feel like you were almost testing both of us and the whole dynamic, like
interesting. I probably see it as me having a poor day and you are very fun / easy to make fun of because you give the reaction I desire, do you know what I mean? Like that
semi-abusive, but keep going,
But exactly. I mean, that's what I'm doing it for, right? I'm trying to get a certain reaction. So, of course, when I get that, I'm like a fucking addict, and I'm constantly picking at it. So
he was going hard. Like, I hated you for a bit. Bad. Like, I was like,
what did I say? What was one of the worst things I said?
I don't even remember. You were just, I kind of was like in shock. And I was just like, what? Why is my, because like I said, you're never mean to
me. I remember
me.
Thinking you were wildly sensitive, but I
probably I am very sensitive, but so are you. You're a little flower as well.
A little daisy.
You are a daisy. That's
a little flower as well.
You know.
Can I be a flower?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you're not quite as sensitive as us at the moment.
I feel like you're a tiger lily.
Oh.
What's a tiger lily? Sounds nice.
Are you kidding? The orange ones, the bright ones that kind of grow out in like rural New York. They're beautiful.
Like you're climbing out
They're
of the
beautiful,
fucking...
but they die soon. No, I'm just
kidding. They don't make it through the winter, though.
Forget it. Okay. Almost
and
had one.
And it's gone. Yep.
But no, but there was always, and you know, Tim is very intuitive and perceptive, and he was always like, you guys are soul brothers. Like, you don't even, you know. And I did see it, like the birthday thing, and I see purple for both of us. And like, I knew, and I have dreams, like I told you, I'll have these dreams where like a tsunami's coming or something crazy, snakes. And I've had about five where Mike just comes and saves me. He's my savior in the dream. And I'm always like, whoa, that's weird that you're here to help me.
How does the bod look when I save you? Am I muscular or am I covered up?
It's almost like a slug in human form.
That sucks.
No,
that's what I was a few months ago. But ever since watching Friday Night Lights, I've gotten this body in check.
Have you really started going to the gym?
Are you kidding? Dude, I watched Friday Night Lights starting in November. I haven't missed, I've been working out 5 days a week just ever since because I want Taylor Kitsch's body.
Tim Riggins?
You look great.
Dude, all I was doing for the first 4 weeks of me being in the gym was pounding beers and going to the woods and like bench pressing. It was great.
Dude, that show, I've never been more invested in a show in my entire life.
It's one of the best shows
season
ever.
Season one of Friday Night Lights, best season of like any show.
I haven't watched it.
Oh my God, you'll love it. It's just like the stuff that I was talking about with the romance of comedy, where you watch the tough times, the good times, the enduring, obstacles.
Because I'm not a football fan, I'll still like it.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's barely football.
Okay,
like,
I'm down.
Football was like what got me into it, but it's just like a whole different...
Okay.
There's like
but surprisingly,
just a lot in
there. Surprisingly enough, for a network TV show, it had excellent football action.
No,
like
it had
good stuff. Most TV shows or movies fuck up with that aspect of it, but I think that's what made it really great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good show.
Well, anyway, I don't have much more to say about, but like we definitely have a weird thing that I feel like I'm not describing accurately. I don't know if I'm self-conscious or not, but
no, I got what you're saying.
But it's a weird thing, and like Saturday night, because I did smoke, and when I smoke, I can.
Oh, did you? I didn't even notice that you did.
Yeah,
honestly.
You did. Oh, you saw me doing it.
I guess I did. Everybody was doing it, so I guess it just the significance went over my head.
But when I did, I could really just feel into it. And Allison was laughing because she sees the big thing, too, of just how a lot of us are coming together. We're, in a sense, light workers. And we're trying to, like I said, create a new earth by bringing more light into the world. I'm not really describing
it. What do you mean
it.
By new earth? Like, is this like a smaller community or is this a transcendent community that isn't necessarily on this plane? Like, how does this new
That's
earth exist?
That's what kind of confuses me is the way I would describe it, although I'm sure it could be like there's so many different theories where one is like the new earth is like you almost shift your perception and you're in a whole other dimension. Like you're going from 3D, they say, to 5D, which is a whole other type of dimension. It's not as flat. Yeah. So that might be it. I'm not sure. Or it could just be in this one, wherever we're at, it's already here. And we're just like all working together as a way to kind of transmute into that reality. But we have to do it as a collective. We want to do it as a collective. We want to be there together. And there are people like us. There's no coincidence that we're healers, whether or not you see yourself as a healer yet. But we're in this entertainment business and we use comedy as a way to reach a lot of people.
Right.
So we're all doing it together.
That's what bugs me with Tim and a few people. And like, you know, I've heard it from Allison. I told her this. I've heard it from you. I've told you the arrogance sometimes behind spirituality really bugs me because everybody is a queen. Everybody is a prince. Everybody has this mission. Everybody has this big thing that they should be in control of or behind. Yet it's like, so there's nobody that's like the janitor of the spiritual world. Like there's, you know what I mean? Like it
I
just
don't
seems
think there is
so
a janitor
lofty,
on the other side.
But also just to say that like 2016, we're building a new earth. People were building this type of earth that we're talking about in the 60s.
Oh,
they were
totally.
Doing it well before that.
Well, as Tim would call, he would talk about Dolores Cannon where she has the
Auntie
three
Dolores.
Waves. The three waves of volunteers, you know, I believe we're even the second wave. I mean, who knows? There's probably like 10 waves of volunteers or more.
I would say infinity waves.
Of course. Yeah. Exactly. So this is not, and my brother responds the same way where he's like, because one time I made the mistake of saying some people are more evolved spiritually than others. And he was, You know, he was like, whoa, stop it there, queen.
Right.
You know, so I agree. We all, and I think that we're all spiritual beings, whether, no matter what your job is. I don't know, for some reason, some people in this particular life are meant to have this mission of waking people up.
Sure.
And I think we're part of that.
So, but when you say waking people up, because again, like with my show, that's a completely different thing. We have two people, Tim, who is waking people up on a spiritual aspect. And then we have another guy who's waking people up to think the earth is a ball. He's like, fuck you, the earth is flat, you're an idiot, the Brussels attack was fake.
I want to have Dave on, by the way.
You should have him on, because he's an interesting guy, mm-hmm. because by all accounts, he's completely normal. And then he has this view of the world that is so outside of the box of that you would have with anybody else,
right.
that you're like, oh, okay, wow, I didn't see this coming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, that dynamic of like, he thinks he's waking people up. Tim thinks he's waking people up. I think I'm hopefully making people laugh and maybe laugh at something that they're having a hard time with, or escape something that they're having a hard time with. And I want to mix in a lot of that, because I don't want to be one of these fucking message-driven asshole comedians that are just droning at people. And like, when they stop, people know they should laugh, even though they don't know what the fuck was funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's like my worst fear, is being that type of comedian.
Well, the interesting thing about Dave's way of waking people up, I think he really does want people to see the truth. I don't really go in that direction myself, because I feel like, and he would disagree, it's very fear-based. Yeah, like, it's very us versus them.
He's
the
like,
government.
It's not fear, it's truth.
Yeah.
I get
I'm
a
scared
sense
of
fear
you when you say that. Yeah.
So that's not, I think he has the right idea, kind of. It's just on the fear side of it. Which he doesn't mean to do. I am more alongside with Tim's train of thought, where it's waking people up. But it's also, you're in there too, because I think humor and just laughing, and like I always say, singing your soul song is the way to really wake up. It doesn't mean you have to start talking to fairies or see auras.
Yeah.
It's about uncovering these defenses and healing your ego, not getting rid of it, but healing it where you can actually be who you truly are.
Sure.
And that's where most people's superpowers lie anyway, whether it's being an empath, really sensitive, or being able to channel a higher being. Most people can't even get there until they do the healing work and feel their emotions to even wake up.
I think it's good that you have that many, like what you said, you have like this guy healing this way, this guy's healing, you're doing your own thing. It's like good like that. Like me, I never really write anyone off as crazy or anything like that, because I like different points of view. Like, I think if you're one of those people that only gravitates to a certain person with a certain mentality, it's like, how fucking boring is that?
Yeah.
Like, you've been thinking the same thing your entire life.
And they're just soaking in things that just reinforce that ideal.
Right, and anything else that isn't with this mentality that you've been accustomed to your whole life is crazy, or it's like wrong or whatever. Like, I'm totally different. Like, someone like Dave, who's like, it's easy for me, like, to make a joke and be like, okay, the earth's flat. Yeah, great. Go fucking get the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I actually love people like that. You know what I mean? Who have these, in-depth, I'm sure he's very educated on the topic.
Oh, yeah.
And, I remember, like, mentioned to him, like, briefly. I was like, so I heard you think the earth is I didn't even get the fucking sentence out. This guy was rattling off stats. He's like, well, yeah, well, how come you can't see the fucking sun on the horizon? I
He went to the YouTube accredited university, so he can tell any point.
And I love Dave, because he actually has like the biggest heart. Like, he talks about all these things that seem crazy to a lot of people. I went to his house that one time with Tim, and he has like this cat, or I forget if it was one cat or two, and he's making like food from his garden. He's like this sweet, you know, man. It's just really funny how he's like so aggressive in many ways.
Have you seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I haven't yet.
Oh, it's basically based on Dave. it's what's going to happen.
I saw
to
the
Dave.
Trailer, so I can only imagine.
Dude, I won't even give anything away. It's fantastic. But like, so one of the things also that bothers me about Tim, and it doesn't even bother me with you, but the one thing that I try to stress on the show all the time is that I'm into peeking into that spiritual stuff, and I'm into looking into it and being just absolutely in awe by it. But I also think that step probably comes when you die anyway. So I want to connect to my human experience as much as humanly possible, or as much as possible, because although some people might think it's ground vibration, it doesn't matter. I still have this body for a certain amount of time, so I want to operate it for as long as I can.
But that's beautiful. And my big thing that I was even talking to Allison about is you know, because a lot of these spiritual people, they're flying, they're untethered.
Yeah.
And it's like you're here as a human to experience being a human.
Yeah.
And I think you want to bring heaven on earth. That's kind of what the new earth is. It's like, while being very much grounded, feet on the ground, feet on your earth, bringing those things in. But a lot of people, they do the spiritual bypass where they're floating up there as a way to not really,
of course, yeah,
feel their feelings. Like, and medicating. That's the big thing that bothers me about a lot of spiritual people, yeah, is that they don't feel real. They don't have, I don't know, they're just avoiding. And those are the people I don't really connect to for the most, yeah, part, at least anymore.
I mean, well, that heaven and hell on earth exists within every single person anyway. That moment that you were talking about before where it's like a beautiful day and you're just like so struck by the beauty of everything and you just feel that, that's heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no,
you know,
yes,
and that moment, if you're looking at it in a trippy kind of spiritual way, that is everlasting. It's not necessarily just that little blip. It's just a blip to our fucking meat carcass and then we move on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in other universes and everything else, that's it. That's all it is. Hell also exists because there are moments like we were talking about before where you get depressed about money, you get depressed about a relationship, you get depressed about anything. And in that moment, you can feel completely helpless and just fucking stuck.
Yeah.
And that's your hell.
Absolutely.
And obviously hell exists, you know, in a lot of countries where people literally can't eat.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's real hell.
Yeah, and it's difficult for them to, you know, manifest a burger just by thinking about it.
And that's yeah, another problem with some of the spiritual thinking is like, I hate, yes, law of attraction's real, but I hate when people use it like the secret, like, no one's a victim. All you have to do is vibrate at abundance, yeah, and abundance
it's
comes.
It's a privileged position to take.
It is. It,
that's white
it's
privilege.
Not the full picture at all, you know? So I am just as bothered by that kind of thinking. And like I said, that's why I love Rosebud. Her and I have become, yeah, close because she's into all this shit, but she's very much a very real, skeptical person in a good way. There's no bullshit. You just call it out. You're here for a reason. You're here to be a human. Be a human.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, so what is our mission exactly? Like, do you have a specific, because I know it's to build the new world, but is there like a specific thing that you haven't announced? Am I putting you on the spot by announcing your mission publicly? Have you heard her mission, Joe?
I
kind of.
Yeah. I'll let you explain you
guys,
it.
You guys are like know I'm each nuts. Other the least out of people that have spent over 100 hours together.
Well, I don't think Joe, I think Joe gets me
I like
on a deep level. That's why I said the text you sent me on my birthday, like I'm joking about it, but I was like, oh, Joe does get me more than he acts like he does.
I do. You know what it is? I'm just I'm not like introverted, but like when it comes to certain things, I'm very just in my head and I soak in a lot of things because I'm the type of person, like I just said, I love people like Dave and like you because I didn't know anyone who was like you until I met you, who was just completely fucking open and just like you have this entire like, and Tim, when I met Tim also, he had these fucking crazy ideas that I'd never heard before. I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? You know what I mean? And like, I love meeting people like that because it's all brand new information. It's like opening a brand new textbook and just learning, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I just like that. And that's why I told you, like, you continue to open my mind all the time because like, if it wasn't for you, I would not even know any of this shit even existed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like when we did that podcast with Tim, it was like the second episode of some shit. He was saying all this shit. And I was like, what is this guy talking about? And I remember leaving and going, I was in my car and I'm looking around like, this is totally different now. This whole fucking shit is not what it was when I went in there.
It's like, awesome. And
that's,
yeah,
I think that's important. Like, as a person, you need to be open-minded and you need to just, when you meet people, you give them a chance to say what they have to say. And usually when it's new, that's a good thing because it hasn't been, like, you know, driven into their heads. Like, they had to have come up with this somehow. And, you know, some people just say a bunch of bullshit, whatever. You take what you want, and then you make your own opinions.
Right.
But me, I'm very, when this is happening, and all the stuff, you guys have these conversations or whatever, I just really take it all in, and then, like, I need time to piece it all together and make my own truth with it.
Sure.
And then I'm able to,
you are going to have a big opening awakening. I don't know when.
A smashing.
He is, though. I feel that. And Allison feels it with you. And I'm very empathic. She's very psychic and has a shitload of abilities. And we both, like, have talked a lot about you. Where we're like, whoa, here's this huge, big, powerful man who doesn't even get, like, you know you're powerful. You know you have all these followers. But you don't even understand yet. And that's fine. I shouldn't be pushing you. That's my crankiness of being like, I want this to, you know,
because. Well, yeah, because if you feel too powerful too quickly, you turn into a fucking dickhead.
That's how many people that's have what you I'm met like, that I'm not terrified of that, but I'm like, I just, you know, I can't even picture myself being like, I don't know, like people like treat me weirdly, like not like a person.
I just don't think you're ever going to have that problem. You are one of the most humble, grounded. That's why I like so fucking either. With him. I like being like, you're Joe Sanegato. You tell the people on the subway to stand the fuck up because you're on there. Because he's so not like that. You know.
Do you do a Showtime routine on the subway?
Yeah.
Everybody
he
stand
just,
up.
He holds up his YouTube video and
Joey
makes them watch.
You know me? Look. This is me. See, Nat?
Yeah, you know who you're looking at? But anyway, in terms of the mission that we all have in common, you're going to be on the Unicorn Tit Show May 22nd, everybody.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're going to be on, and I'll really try to go more. I can also give you like a personal tarot reading, because I have thought a lot about, even that one time I was high before I spiraled, I was literally sitting there on my phone, feeling into all of your energies and writing notes.
Sure.
Like I was like, Mike likes to be terrified. It's exciting to him. Like I was just like, da-da-da going on. But
well, I think I do like to be terrified because it's almost like the comedian thing where it controls what I'm terrified at. So I know the reason why I take 200 milligram pot edibles before I ride on a fucking airplane is because now I'll be terrified because of that instead of my impending mortality.
Do you know what I mean?
That's 100% what it is. Why would
it's
I
to
get
distract from what you're really terrified
exactly.
of?
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost like conspiracy theory where I see a lot of, you know, the conspiracy theorists that we have on the show as well as Dave. They're focusing so much on how the government is fucking us that they don't look inwards where the real 9/11 took place.
Oh my God, that was so real.
Beautiful, right?
That's what I'm saying. I almost cried 2 times, by the way, and I was like, I'm not going to cry on this podcast right now.
I wish you did.
I was about to. I was about to be like, I'm so grateful to be incarnated with you guys and doing this. But no, so in terms of our thing, it's to, I hate the word wake people up because I like, but it's to say what we're saying, open people up, open their minds, tell them, you know, we get a lot of emails. Like I was in college for this thing I hated. And because of you guys, I realized I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not a spiritual awakening where you're seeing auras, I don't give a fuck about that. If it's just finding your happiness, that's what we're meant to do. Everyone has gifts. Everyone has a mission. Everyone's a part of this. A lot of people haven't woken up to their own abilities. And that's my thing is, and that's why I kind of got turned off a bit from the spiritual, because I'm like, to me, it's not about chanting. That's great. If that's what you want to do, do that. It's not about seeing auras, speaking to spirits. It's about finding your happiness and your authenticity and being who you are. Yeah. And that might mean never having a spiritual awakening, but being true to yourself.
For sure. Well, hopefully waking up, you know, in big quotes, is just living like Joe lives regularly, where he enjoys listening to different perspectives. You don't have to agree. You don't have to soak it really in. You just have to kind of be cool with other people not believing the exact same shit you believe in. Yeah. That's so rare, dude. If you just even look on Facebook, you can see how everybody has a team. It's political season. Nobody gives a fuck about making this country better or about doing anything that kind of that brings us all together. All they give a fuck about is that their team wins. And then once the person becomes president, they realize they were never even considered for the roster. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all these people that are running for self-interest. And this is just kind of like an example. But it doesn't even matter who I'm talking about. It's all of them.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, it's unfortunate that so many people just want to align themselves with a party just so they can be like, nah, I told you so at the end of the day. And it's like, cool, have fun with that on your deathbed.
It's weird that a lot of people like just seek this validation and they just want to be a part of, like you're saying, a team, whether it be like whatever. And that's, we were talking about this on the last podcast, where a lot of people will point the finger at other people just to be on that team.
For sure.
And people love being on that team to be the one like, look at this guy, he's doing something bad. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just dumb. There's just like a lot of that energy that you're putting into that could be put into something else that could help you. Like, that's not helping you at all. You pointing the finger at someone or doing whatever. And, like,
it's divisive. You know,
I feel like it's so, I always used to say this, and I don't know if it makes sense yet, but, like, when I was, like, 15 years old, I remember thinking, for whatever reason, I was like, people say life is hard, but I don't think life is hard. People just make it hard on themselves. Like, it's very simple, like, to just get along with people and just, you know, Find your own shit.
Yes, I hear you. But this is why I call you Buddha, because that's great and that's lovely. But like, that's
I would love hardest. To. I would love to hear you say that to a Salon.com writer, just as a straight white man, being like, "Life is easy.
Yeah,
just fucking pull up your bootstraps, just do it."
I hear what you're saying, but that's a hard place to get to.
I'm not talking about people who are in crazy circumstances.
Yeah, that's the same thing. You go to like a third world country and Santagato, this good looking white dude.
That's what I'm saying. Hey.
Just fucking fix your cleft lip, idiot. Get out of the sewer.
It's all how you look at life.
No, but
yeah, but you could be looking at that sewer water as I might be a Ninja Turtle someday.
but I'm like, obviously, I know you guys are joking, but like people who, you know, have all these complaints about things that don't matter. You know what I mean? Like there are people who are fighting to survive and they don't have the luxury to even complain. You know what I mean? Like they don't even have time to do that.
Yeah.
But like if you have time to complain, you have time to fix the problem. That's a bar. I'm writing that down.
And I hate to bring up the third thing, you know, although that's a thing we learned in our school. And I love how Tim, because his website's thethirdthing.net.
By the way,
he totally coined it. Follow the fourth thing. The
tweet
fourth
me.
Thing.
Tweet
that's
me.
Mike's.
I am Mike Cannon. I'm the fourth thing. One better than the third thing.
It's just so funny as like they kept repeating the third thing in my school. I'm like, that son of a bitch. Every time my teachers say this term, I have to think of my fucking ex. Like I was like, are you kidding? What a son of a bitch. But he's brilliant. Because it is about the third thing. Because the third thing essentially is being able to hold conflicting parts of yourself and in the world.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the quote unquote answer. If there even is an answer is you can love and hate something. There can be two sides, but when you hold space for both, a whole third thing opens up. And in a sense, that's linked to the new earth of being able to see everyone's point of view and not being so like, no, I am this and you are that. We are all, everything's inside of us.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that arguing that you were talking about or complaining before, something that I learned in therapy and I picked up, is a lot of that shit has nothing to do with the stuff that they're actually complaining about. And it's more or less like the damage that has already been done to their soul since they were a kid. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my girl and I were in a tough spot like 3 years ago. Like we almost broke up. Now we're engaged. We've been together since we were kids and we've never hit a rough patch like that. And we were like really angry at each other and like and snippy and competitive and nothing. And once we each individually sought out therapy, we both realized that not much of it had to do with our relationship at all. More of it was a reaction to the things that we saw as a kid and it then repeating and playing out as adults. Do you know what I mean? Like we both came from very similar backgrounds in terms of our parents and how they talked to each other and how they got along. So we had a very skewed idea of the natural communication between like, you know, a man and his wife or something. So we, it took a lot of fucking diving deep. And even now, just for my reaction to be like, that's not about that. That's about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's,
that's huge.
Yeah, it's completely huge. It changed the face changed the face of our relationship, and it's the reason why we are getting married. No other reason or no other substantial life change that I've made has had that big of an impact.
And so many people are in relationships where they're not even realizing that they're triggered.
Of course.
You know, by something
that
happened. Yeah, most people
don't. When
my
therapist was like, that's your mother, I'm like, fuck you. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't have that feel. I don't have that conscious awareness of what my mom did to me, of like how I hate taking orders, and it stems from that. Yeah. So anytime my girl would even like ask me to do the dishes, I'd be like, fuck you, bitch. Like, you know, so it's like, it's all these crazy triggers that I had no idea. But then once, you know, you kind of go down that rabbit hole, you know, it starts all making sense and connecting kind of naturally.
Yeah, good for you. You have a good therapist too, huh?
Well, I'm done with him now.
Oh, but
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he told me to quit comedy and also that I shouldn't ever do mushrooms because he was an NA guy. I get it. He couldn't break his program by telling me some of the work I was doing was correct by taking what he considers drugs. Totally understand. But the quit comedy thing.
I don't think you
like
should quit
it.
Comedy. I think you are also bigger than comedy. I think you should stay in comedy, and I just see something
like Bill Cosby bigger than comedy. Because
no.
He sure transcended the art form, didn't he?
Just a tad.
I just see. I always see comedy being. You are comedy, though. Like you have humor. It's always infused in you, and I see you always doing stand up. You love it. You're in a relationship with stand up as well. I just see you also doing other things. I don't know what yet. Who knows what it's going to be in 10 years? But
we'll
you could
see.
Also. We could all be running these big healing events. yeah. together. And but it'll be like a fun party.
Either that or you see my name in the paper for blowing up the federal building.
And I was like, I was really yeah. off.
Ooh, well, yeah. kind of, but, you know, just took a different direction. New world, Kate. New world.
Yeah, look, I can't even take that in. I'm like, no, that's not how it's going to go.
Start making soap in my basement. His name was Robert Paulson.
Oh. Wow.
Weird.
Right. I hate that so much.
I loved it. We're all so in sync. I can totally feel it.
That's one of my pet peeves. Like, that moment when, like, people are just like,
because that's real vulnerability.
I just hate it.
As the late, great Gary Shandling says, the truth is in the silence. Ooh. He said everything. He's like, there's more truth. He's like, people in this world need to shut the fuck up. He's like, if we sat here in silence together, we'd figure more out about each other than we would from hours of talking about it.
That's actually so
Gary Shandling is
the
fucking best. Listen to his podcast or his episode of You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. It changed my life. It was fantastic.
I will listen to it.
Yeah.
I was watching Man on the Moon, and Andy in the movie asks, like, the guru, what's the key to being funny? And he said silence.
Yeah.
So it's true, because we're not used to, like you were saying about Joe, most of us can't take things in or receive. We're constantly projecting.
Mm-hmm. My favorite comics have those just like ice in their veins. I don't give a fuck. I'll sit on this silence for as long as it takes for you guys not to be dumb. Like those are my favorite comics.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of guts, though, to
yeah,
have the confidence
to do that. And I
notice
that I do my best when I'm in that drive. It's just hard to get in that pocket consistently. That's what the years and the years and the reps do, hopefully. But still, every night is a crapshoot. Every set is a crapshoot. It's completely different. The circumstances are different. Your mood is different. The amount of drinks you've had is different. You know, it's just, it's all fucking nuts.
Yeah. Dude, this was awesome.
Thanks for
having
me,
guys. I'm so happy
you
came on.
Appreciate it.
It was a fun episode.
I'm so happy to see you come into your alien king power and you come into your alien king power.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think we built the bedrock to the new world, guys.
Oh, we did.
I don't know about you.
So, Mike, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at I Am Mike Cannon, Instagram, same thing, Snapchat. I'm on that. Yeah, I'm doing that every once in a while. I had to get off of it years ago when it first came out because like it was only made for obviously sending crazy pictures to each other. So and I was just on a bunch of MTV shit and I got like 8 messages in a row from like clearly 15-year-old girls and I was like deleted forever. Yeah. But now that they've, you know, soundly forgotten about me, I'm back.
Do you get that? A lot of weird naked pictures?
No.
I mean, they weren't naked. They were just certainly like, they were heading that way.
They're like, can I put my vag on it?
Can I stick my vag on there?
I'm a very aggressive chick. I'm going to put my vag on that.
Damn right. Say it with some more baritone.
Yeah.
You sound like Kobe in a post-game interview.
There you go.
Oh, and don't forget podcast.
Oh, yeah. And listen to Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. Why not? Check out the weed news. I did a web series about the legality behind marijuana and just kind of in an aggressive, different type of way. The weed news, it was on Stand Up New York Labs. Just look me up. Yeah.
And we
had
so
like
funny.
50 episodes.
I have so many listeners that are like, I love your guys' podcast and Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. And sometimes I'm happy about it and sometimes there's a little knife to the heart.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's great.
Every single time. Once you guys jumped back to the charts, I had to show you what's up with that one screen.
Did you see that?
And now we're And now we're off.
Well, one day we'll both be up there.
We'll see. Yeah.
I can feel it in my heart, my soul. Guys, for me, if you want a tarot card reading, it's $50, kwolf27@gmail.com. And Nathan and I, we have a show April 21st at New York Comedy Club. Promo code Nate Kate. Come out to it. And Twitter.
You doing long sets?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we're going up on stage together to answer emails and people's.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
Because we always fight, so it's going to be a live
fight.
Sweet. And it's going to be a disaster.
Oh, I know. I'm probably going to cry.
Oh, the night after that, the 22nd, I'm doing a half hour at UCB East, 10:30 on Gentrify.
Ooh. Yeah. And then, Twitter, at the Kate Wolf.
And I'm on Twitter, at Joe Santagato, if you want to contact me. And thank you for listening, guys.
Send those young Snapchats.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.